Now, back to Rick Preuss and Lee Cohen, two guys who always tear up at the end of Finding Nemo.
You're listening to the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show, only on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show, and we're continuing the conversation with both Jamie McAloon-Lampman, the Director of Ingham County Animal Control, and Julia Palmer, the President of the Capital Area Humane Society. And I asked before the break if we could bring out the crystal ball, and I don't do it that often. We mostly keep the crystal ball tucked away because I know it's not fair. But if we had to come up with a solution to how do we solve these cases of abuse or people just not being able to keep their dogs properly, what should we be doing as a community? And we'll start with you, Julia, and then we'll go to Jamie.
Okay, well, we wish that we knew all the solutions to this problem because it's something that Jamie and I deal with every day in our shelters, and it's certainly heartbreaking for us, the entire community. I think that reporting what you see is just so important in terms of animal cruelty, especially because animal cruelty doesn't just affect the pet in the home. A lot of times where there's cruelty to animals, there's cruelty to humans, children. So we really need to make sure that what we see, we're reporting, and you can always call our organization, the Capillary Humane Society, or your local animal control and let them know what you're observing. So we need eyes in the community. We can't be everywhere. We only have so many staff. But if we know what's going on and we know what the concerns are, then we can respond to those concerns.
Okay. And Jamie, if you had to respond to that, what do you suggest?
Well, I think there's a number of components. You first of all have to have good laws in your community, because if you don't have good laws, you have nothing to enforce. You have to have the ability to enforce those laws. You also have to have programs available that will help these people, because often that's all they needed is a helping hand. You've also got to do outreach. You've got to make sure that from your judicial branch to your law enforcement branch to your average pet owner and your veterinarians, everybody, that are on the same page, that you want to do something to help this community prevent the problem, whether it's spay-neuter programs, licensing programs, vaccination clinics that can get to these people so they can get their animals rabies vaccinated, so they can get their license, so they can have incentives to spay-neuter, differential licensing. Those are all key to getting your community on board. But most of all, you need to make sure that the leaders in your community are on board with what you want. So let them know you care about pets and how they're taken care of. You won't tolerate abuse. And your community will be a leader if that's what you think it should be.
And I'm just wondering, is there a collective place? Let's say we talk in generalities about some feeding programs and some various other programs, spay neuters and whatnot. Is there one website or are there websites or any way that people can go just like, hey, I heard about this on the radio show this morning, and there's a place you can actually go to help get your dog fed. What would be that website, or what would be that address, or what would be that phone number that you would want them to know about?
Well, I'll give you Ingham County's, but Capillary has one too. At Ingham County, we have the food bank, the pit stop program for pit bull spay neuter. We have the feline fix it for cat spay neuters. And we have low cost vaccination clinics for low income areas. They can go to www.inghamcounty.org/AC, or they can just call Ingham County at 676-8310.
And somebody there can answer the kind of
absolutely
questions that they have.
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And when it comes to Capital Area Humane Society, is there a location?
Sure. I mean, we have two locations right now. So we have our low-cost spay-neuter clinic on Cedar Street, as well as our shelter located on Grand River Avenue. And our website is www.cahs-lansing.org. And you can also just call the shelter at 626-6060, and we can direct you. You know, it's like Jamie was talking about, there are so many programs that exist to help people who can't help their pets, and we offer so many of the same type of programs. We just opened a high-volume spay-neuter clinic, and it's low-cost, and even in some situations free for pet owners that qualify. So we want to make sure that those resources are out there and people know about them. We have a food bank as well for folks that are in Ingham County. Mm-hmm. We have a food bank to provide for pets if you can't afford that. We have something called Pet Fairs, which are low-cost wellness clinics, similar to Ingham County's vaccine clinics. So we really want to help people. And if you need help with your pet, whether it's from behavior help to I can't afford that pet, please call us and we will help you.
Now, as far as getting people to not behave in that way in terms of caring for the animals, I remember probably 30, 40 years ago, and of course you two are too young to remember it, but yeah, there was a program for kids called Scared Straight. Mm-hmm. And it basically exposed them to what life would be like in prison. And the goal was to keep them out of trouble because you don't want this. Is that something that we should be considering in the area of animal cruelty? Because candidly, I struggle to read a lot of these stories in the newspaper and look at these pictures. And my thought just was, I don't know a human being who can be exposed to this and behave that way ever again. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, certainly these incidents, these heinous acts are definitely tragic, and they definitely indicate some psychiatric issues with that person. And we know that sociopathic behaviors often are associated with people abusing animals. So, I mean, when we see those behaviors, I mean, there are things that need to be done. But, you know, scared straight programs, I don't know. I mean, I certainly don't like the idea of making people convicted of animal cruelty working with animals. It's like having a pedophile working in an orphanage for children. It's not going to work.
The one thing that we've had talked about that in an earlier conversation, I'm not sure who we chatted with, but getting to children and actually letting them know and understand the actual softer side of a pit bull is probably one of the more single-handed. Yeah, we have to wait a generation to get to that point, but you know, just like we can teach kids to eat better because they actually start not seeing just the worst of foods at their cafeteria tables, the same rules apply here. Is that not correct? And what efforts on each of your parts have you done to kind of reach out to the general younger audience so that they actually can start making changes?
Right. Well, we are currently in part of our pet fair program is to do outreach and education called Chat Club in the community centers where we provide wellness clinics. So that is a requirement of that community center, not just that we come in and provide no-cost services to the area and the pets in the area, but also that they participate in this program. And what we teach the children in this program is the five basic rights that every animal has, you know, to be safe, to have food, to have water. And we try to instill those things into the children. I think reaching children are much more malleable. They're much more interested in learning and hearing from adults. And adults are sometimes, it's hard to change opinions once you get to adulthood. So we are working hard understanding that it's not just about helping the animals today, but providing a better future. We also have a summer camp program, and we provide scholarships to children who can't afford those camps. And the same things come across in our summer camps. It's all about animals have, you know, they're able to feel, pain, they're able to experience things that humans are able to experience. And with the hope that children will start to understand that there's more to having a pet than ownership, but actually providing for that pet. So we really believe in the education front as well. Unfortunately, it takes many years before we see results from that, but we understand that that is the future for the animals in our community. We have to do more.
Jamie?
Well, I wish we could have a kids camp. I wish we could, because I'll tell you, the kids are the answer. Because when we do a small version of a school education program where we send an officer in to talk about the proper caring of an animal. But the kids get focused on the officer, which is great, too, because a lot of times they don't like us. They've heard from their parents, oh, the dog catcher, this or that. So to get them to be familiar with an animal control officer as somebody who can help them and their pets is a really good thing for us. It helps us get in the door. Mm-hmm. But when we do talk to them about spay-neuter, we often hear from them because the parents will call us back and say, you know what, I'm going to have to spay this dog because my kid, every time he gets in the car, will not let up on me about why we haven't spayed or neutered Betsy. You know, mm-hmm. So the kids can reach the parents. We know that for a fact because we see it. But we really think that that is the key. Get to the children.
Right, right. And you had mentioned at the very beginning of the show that a lot of this seems to be, you know, at least elevated at the time when the economy, you know, goes down. And I guess my thought is just like when we had the economic collapse, we started seeing the water recede and seeing all the ugliness of what was actually out there. Mm-hmm. I would have to assume that to a certain extent, there is the, you know, person that, you know, unfortunately lost their job. But I think on a larger scale, would it not be too that as the kind of like economics change and things that are wrong out there just tend to surface to some extent as well, as far as this active, not the passive, but the active amount of violence on animals.
Well, they say that when the economy goes bad, that people are more stressed. And with more stress, you see more violence occur, more alcoholism in the home and things like that. But some of these more heinous cases, I'm not convinced that it's because of the economy. I think some of these people, based on what we've learned of their background, would have done this anyway.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. So
that's
they would have done this anyway. So on these more heinous cases, I think they're just the type of personality. I mean, and as I said, they're not – the good citizen. They're not going to get the good citizen award. They've got other issues in their past for sure.
Well, and it sounds like from our conversation today that in spite of all the best efforts, there's just no way to keep animals out of their hands because, as you've said, they're not necessarily coming from an organization. They're coming from somebody down the street or at passing out free dogs or things like that. So is there anything almost like a neighborhood watch type program that could go in place? Because sometimes when you see that sign in the neighborhood that says, hey, burglars, people are watching, maybe if we said, hey, dog abusers, people are watching, that maybe that could cause it. Because I see my neighbor's dogs in the backyard all the time and they see mine.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. A recent survey from the ASPCA determined that about 20% of animals actually come from shelters. So 80% of people who own animals did not get them from a sheltering organization. So people talk to us a lot about screening and making sure they're going to good homes. And we do a lot of that at both organizations. Yeah. But at the end of the day, 80% of those animals out there didn't come from an organization where screening probably happened. So so there's a bigger issue than just sitting your adopter down and making sure they're a good home. You know, there are a lot of people out there who can get a pet from anywhere.
And to those people listening out there, you know, whether it's a neighbor, a friend, or whatnot, the more we can actually have conscientious transactions back and forth between each other and understand what we're signing up for when we take that puppy out of a box, you know, the better off we are. So I don't know how we get further in that particular avenue, but that's certainly is a step in the right direction.
And unfortunately, Rick, as happens every week with this show, we're not going to be able to solve that one this week because we're out of time. So I just have to say thank you to our guests. We've been talking this morning with Jamie McAloon-Lampman, the director from Ingham County Animal Control, and Julia Palmer, the president of the Capital Area Humane Society. And it's been a great conversation, Rick.
Yep.
But unfortunately, we're out of time. So on behalf of our producer, Mark Price, and my co-host in the studio, Rick Bruce. This is Lee Cohen wishing all of you a great weekend, and please, please take good care of your pets. We'll see you next week, everybody.
Got some ideas, suggestions, questions? Email us at mmpets@1320wils.com. Be sure to include a picture of your pet or any animal pictures, and we'll upload them onto our Facebook pages. Join our Facebook page at Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show, or friend us on Facebook at Mid-Michigan Pets. You can upload your own pictures, make comments, and interact with other pet enthusiasts.
You never give it, peeling the years away, and we can't relive it. Oh, I make you